You're listening to the Boom Burst Podcast Turf Wars Recap, where we go over the weekly events from Pokemon Turf Wars. Today, we're covering the main events of Turn 2, Dim Sun versus the World. Cue the music!
Hey everybody, welcome to the Turn 2 Recap. It is 2 in the morning, and I am Cyarkos.
And it is 1 in the morning here, and I'm a very tired dozer.
And my juice box is empty. And we're here to bring you all the news about Turf Wars, Turn 2, which happened last week.
Just wrapped up earlier this evening? Or would
Dozer.
It be yesterday evening?
Cause Dozer, they, shut up.
They carried over?
You need to stay vague with time. Or else we'll be wrong.
Oh. Which just wrapped up on the evening of the 26th.
Okay, smartass. Anyway, so we're going to try and get these through, because honestly, I kind of like the 30-minute time frame.
Made editing really easy.
Editing's easy, and it's all out there, and Dalek likes it. He didn't tell me, I just assumed. So anyway.
Remember Dalek didn't like anything longer than 15 minutes. And our early episodes were like 15 hours.
That's a good point.
So
coming into turn two, first of all, boats are now live.
Yay, boats!
Yeah, everybody's got a boat.
I put them on the maps today because no one had done that yet.
Yeah, and Aqua, you done goofed again because you don't know where you're going. But we know what you meant, so you're at 21, so deal with it.
K21 instead of K20.
Yeah,
so, deal with it.
Learn to count with Dozer and Psy.
And for those who want to take a look, we should have the map linked in the episode description.
We always do.
Yeah.
Not.
No.
But well, if you do want it, it'll be on the sidebar as Turf Tracker.
On the Turf Wars Reddit thing.
Which is always linked.
Yes, there's something that we always remember to occasionally do.
Wait, we didn't do that on the last one.
Like I said, occasionally do.
Yeah, that's getting fixed. Anyway, so we'll just get this all started. We'll start with Solar Trinity, because they didn't do anything crazy.
They did not have to fight this turn.
Yeah. They basically just took Geosenge, Azalea, Cormorant, Ringtown, Dendemil, and Lavare. Do we want to say where they moved their ship from?
Yeah.
Okay, so they launched from Silage City in Kalos. They moved... Oh god, I need a map up to do this.
Yeah, dude, you don't have a map up?
Shut your mouth.
It's all nice and updated, too. They moved to M25, which, is basically just a little bit east of Hoenn, and it's south of Ore.
Yeah, it's like right in this. It's right in the center of like Ore and Hoenn and Kalos.
And
probably
it's dead south from Oblivia.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they'll have enough fuel to reach that.
Well, they only moved. How many did they move?
They moved the full six.
Full six. They won't be able to reach it, but they could possibly push into Hoenn if they really want to. Because nothing in the north of Hoenn has been taken.
No.
Because I'm not even going to comment on it.
Aqua being...
Shh. We have to be nice every other episode.
Oh, that's how this works.
And I was already mean to them this episode.
Oh, well. Well, they did. It was a minor derp that we all overlooked. No one pointed out. But we fixed it.
Yeah. We fixed it by establishing that they were wrong and demanding that we were right and they have to deal with it.
That's what neutral powers mean nowadays.
Yep. Don't you love it? Anyway, moving on. Next thing we're going to talk about is Igneous. I hate when I'm tired because I sound like the dude from Office Space. like, yeah, if you could put down your ship coordinates correctly, that'd be nice.
Yeah, Igneous, the first team of season 4, I almost said 2 for some reason. Maybe because we only have done recaps for season 2.
You shut your mouth.
I digress. They managed to note where their ship was launching from right at the last minute, but they still did not move their ship, so they were hit with the idle action, which cost them 3 fuel as a kind of, not really a punishment, just it's the cost to not move your ship.
It's a way to balance out ships.
So you
it's
can't,
a good way to balance out ships.
So you can't sit there and camp your fuel. What was ironic about this is I noticed that they didn't mark where their ship was launched, like, right near the end, and I'm gonna be that asshole on the ledger now that's not holding everyone's hand, pointing out when they did all of these little things wrong, because you can read rules. If you can type on the internet, you can read, and therefore you can read rules in the rule book.
Yeah. So anyway, they launched from Castalia. I think that was the only place they could. No, they could also launch from Undella.
Now, this is just for future reference. If they hadn't chosen a port and time had run out, we would have had to RNG a port for them, and I already had pre-RNG'd one, and it turned out to be Castalia. Because
so
I had rolled it.
Nothing
would
have.
Yeah, so they chose what I had rolled, like, at the last second. I'm just like, oh, okay then. Well, this saves me trouble.
Anyway, moving on. They took Lacunosa, which we assumed they wanted, and then took Opelicid.
Yep.
The Ranger School, Olivine City, and then they decided to fight Dim Sun for our coined Gray Terminal, which I don't think... Did we call it that in Season 2?
We did not.
Yeah, okay, so a little update, because Black City... And White Forest was way too goddamn long to write on the tracker. I was just like, screw it. Let's call it the Gray Terminal.
And it's stuck.
It's stuck because it's just awesome sounding. Anyway, they attacked Dim Sun at the Gray Terminal. They lost.
And there it goes.
But it can show that already they're planning to try and push through and get a strong hold over Oblivia, because as we mentioned...
Unova.
My bad. Unova is very dumbly designed in the fact that it's just a circle, and it's really hard to push through if you can capture the whole thing.
Yeah, well, right now, how it looks like it's going to go is Isiris... Oh, Igneous and Dim Sun will probably fight over Isiris. Dim Sun can also snag Anvil, and Igneous can snag the Unova Pokemon League, Humula City, and pretty much everything on Eastern Unova.
Don't lie, Dozer. No one's going to take Anvil. No one took it last season.
Some people took it in testing.
People took it in testing. There was a capital there, I believe.
There was.
In testing, which is pretty funny. But it's like, anyway, moving on. Yeah, so they lost, but we already have an idea. Speaking of Dim Sun, they had a very interesting turn. But we'll give more into that later. First we're going to talk about Aqua and talk about why they're dumb again. No, we're not. They actually did some okay things.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to try and take, well, they managed to take Gideon Port, finally. The Kalos Pokemon League, Aqua Cord, Vaunaville, and they tried to take Dewford and Verdanturf, but Dim Sun also decided that they wanted them this phase. So there were some battles that ensued.
And we'll get into that a little more later when we talk about the actual battles, or do you want to roll them in with the actions?
Might as well. I mean, just okay. Dim Sun won. Like...
Yeah,
These aren't any battles that we're really talking about in depth.
No. Dim Sun 1, Dewford 4-0, on the Grunt Sweep. And then Run Verdanturf 5-1 in the admin.
Mm-hmm. Also, for the Igneous, it was also 5-1.
In the admin. Dim Sun did very, very, very well this turn.
Yeah, and anyway, so Aqua also launched their ship from Lily Cove, because, you know, they didn't take any of the other four port cities. In...
Well, no, they well, you mean they didn't take them in turn one?
In turn one.
So their only choice to launch a ship, I believe, was Lily Cove.
Yep. Anyway, I think that's enough picking on them. And they moved their ship just a tad north of Evergrande, which I noticed you also did not shift from west.
Oh, I've been busy, so I didn't get time to fix that.
Well, which it'll be fixed eventually, but anyway.
Evergrande City, it's literally the tile northeast of...
It's the bop.
Yeah, the Evergrande. It's the... Yes. But it's also within striking range of Kokona Village.
Oh, yeah. So they might be... They'll probably be the first team to get into Oblivia.
Yep. And they'll be able to get Oblivia on turn three.
Which is kind of a big deal, especially because you can put... Basically, after turn three is when you're going to be placing your capital, because I know we haven't talked about this on the show. So any obscure places that you get on or before turn three are really good.
Yeah, either as dummy capitals or actual potential capitals. Now, I do feel like Kokona Village... would be very, very obvious, but sometimes the obvious decision is the good decision because people won't expect you to make the obvious decision.
Mm-hmm.
Also, sometimes the less obvious decision is more obvious. It's really weird.
Yeah.
About strategy.
So moving on to the next team, yes. Snag'em. They decided they were going to take Eterna City in Sinnoh, Pewter City... Sunny Shore and Sandgem. And they also decided to try and go to Cerulean, but they were again met with a conflict by Dim Sun.
Yep.
And
I think this is the territory where we get our Battle of the Week.
Yes, so Dim Sun did fight Snag'em, and it was won in the admin 5-2, and the admin battle is actually our Battle of the Week.
Yes, the battle was between Cool Trainer Gary and Clipper Murray, and it was... I really enjoyed this battle.
Mm-hmm.
We had some fun plays with the Frostlass versus Crustle, where there was some predicting and reads. The Hazards actually played a pretty big role in this.
Yeah. And there were some really interesting moves made. Including Audino Lock, which I loved.
Encore Audino.
It's great. But anyway, we'll link it in the description, and we'd like to hear your comments on it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it is worthy of it or not?
Yep.
It gets the Boomburst seal of approval.
Because Encore Mega Audino.
Because Encore Mega Audino and some clutch, like, last minute... swords dancing that basically secured the game.
Yeah, because I remember the first watch through of this, you're like, why did he swords dance right there?
Yeah.
And I look through and I'm like, oh, he swords danced so the Aqua Jet would be able to kill the Heracross.
But even then, it would have been like two hits, and what could the Heracross have done to it?
The Heracross...
Well, there is Bullet Seed.
Okay, yeah. Well...
But,
oh, dude, it's UU. It's not Mega.
Exactly, but you can still run Bullet Seed on it.
You don't run Bullet... What?
Yeah,
on
I know.
Dude, you're dumb.
I know I'm dumb. I'm just saying it's a thing, but the Heracross wouldn't be able to do much to it.
Dude, it would have still been... let me see. I have the calc here. No, it was within close combat knockout range. Within Mega Horn knockout range, it was that Feraligatr was in knockout range from the Heracross.
Yeah.
The real question is what would the Heracross be able to do to win the game, because Well, if he was scarf-crossed and locked himself into close combat, it would have been able to take out the Crocodile after the Moxie boost. But that's also countering the Intimidate, so it would have been neutral attack. I don't know if it would have been able to take out the Nidoqueen, though.
Probably not.
No, so it did look like Cool Trainer Gary's match by that point. But all the same, it was a really good game. Really yeah. Well played on both sides. So remember, submit replays so we can talk about things.
Yeah.
Because I only had two to choose from this week.
Yeah. Anyway, so Snag'em also launched their ship from Cherry Grove and moved south just one space, which then avoids the whole stall mechanic, which is great. And they decided to fish. And they got themselves a train ticket.
Which is not useless now.
No, except that they really don't... Oh yeah, they do have a train that they can use. Awesome. They have Floriromatown.
They have Floriromatown, dude. Yeah, they're able to, from Floriromatown, next turn or any other turn, attack any city on a railway, be it Lumios, Pyrite, Nimbasa, Opelucid, Saffron, Goldenrod... And I think that's it.
You didn't say
Fall City and Pule Town.
Yeah.
Those are the newer train stations, so I'm still getting used to them.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Dim Sun, so we can actually talk about their other actions. They went to Drefail and then chained to Mistralton. And that's about it. Oh, they also launched their ship from Fuchsia City and moved down and docked at Two Island. And docking does not cost any tokens, so they were able to basically claim 7 territories for the cost of only 6 this turn.
Yep, because they grabbed Cinnabar Island as well. They picked up Cerulean from Snag'em, of course. And, of course, Dewford and Verdanturf. And just, once again, solidifying Dim Sun's really strong board position for this early game.
Yeah.
Because they have several potential capital choices, especially in Kanto.
They've got a nice spread.
They've got a really good spread. They have the potential to search in Hoenn and Unova.
What if they put their capital on Two Island? What if they put it on Four Island?
They could reach it next turn.
I know. No one would ever see it coming.
Yeah, because that didn't happen in Season 3. Pretty much the exact same... Wait, no, how much... They have...
They'll have 9 next turn.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... They can reach Mekon Island.
Yeah.
And the Orange Islands, too. If they really wanted to.
I feel like that'd be really risky to try and push back from, though.
Not if you have Two Island. No, Two Island and Mekon Island are close enough together, so it's pretty helpful. Trust me, because that's what I wanted to do and with Rocket in Season 3, but we lost Fuchsia.
And you died.
And Rocket is kill. Still.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the recap this week.
Wait, did we really cover everything?
Yeah.
Already?
Remember...
No, hold on. I want to talk about this territory spreads here before we sign off.
Okay. Yeah.
So we touched on Dim Sun's a little bit earlier. Dim Sun having a really nice spread, and Kanto having pretty solid control there. Having Southern Hoenn 4 territories, it looks like?
Yeah, but... With the that really doesn't help when you're colorblind. Yeah, they only have 4. They're kind of locked out of claiming any other neutrals, though.
That's
the one thing Aqua has done kind of okay.
Aqua played this turn very well, if you ask me, because next turn is when Aqua's going to capitalize on everything that they've built up to. Next turn, their moves will probably be. I'm guessing Kokona Village, Mos Deep, Evergrande, Sootopolis, Pacific Lod, Lava Ridge, and Little Root. Those are their 6 tokens right there.
Yeah.
Plus their ship action. The downside is they won't have a really safe place to park their capital.
No.
And this goes back to their starting territory grab of going to Fortree.
I mean, instead one of thing Rustboro. They could do is they could capitalize Evergrande.
Evergrande, then, or any of the ocean ports in Hoenn.
Yeah, and then like all the oceans and Lily Cove all connect to it, so it's an easy.
Yeah, take-back. It is. But the thing is, they've got Dim Sun right in their backyard. North Hoenn is Swiss cheese with all of those ports.
Call it Little Root.
Or is they. If they can knock ST out of ore, which I can see them making that in turn 3, going straight for the aggressive attack, because this is Aqua,
yeah.
Then ore would be a really good spot for them. But otherwise, no. They're really limited, basically, to just Hoenn.
Yeah.
Or Kalos, but that, I feel, is a little too obvious. And it really is going to depend on how confident they are in their ST matchup. Also, the thing is, with trains being so pivotal in the new format, if people use trains well, they're very, very strong, on par with boats. Hoenn is actually safer because it doesn't have a train track and ports.
Desert, you're doing exactly what you didn't want to do. You're giving them ideas. You're being counterproductive! We were.
I never said I didn't want to give them ideas on how to play well on things they could... Oh, well, never mind.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the spreads. Solar Trinity's got a really...
They've
really...
got Kalos locked down.
Yeah.
They've got a good positioning. Their Johto positioning's really weak with just those 3 territories, but Johto is just weird right now, and I love it.
I feel like they're probably going to get attacked in Goldenrod next turn.
Maybe.
Through a train, because that just seems like...
That would only be from Snag'em, though, because there's no other team in the train station.
Exactly, but that basically then would allow Snag'em to push through and kind of pincer them off if they want to.
Yeah, that's
or not... at least, if not next turn, turn 4, when there won't be so many neutral territories left.
Mm-hmm. No, if you want me to give like my honest opinion on what I think, if I see any attacks, I really do think it's going to be against Dim Sun again. Because we've seen that from both Snag'em, and we've seen that from both Igneous, back-to-back so far in the early game, very aggressive, and one thing that I want to remind people about is alliances are legal.
Yeah. But, anyway, speaking of Snag'em, they've got a...
I like and dislike their spread.
Yeah, so their bottom Kanto Johto spread's just kind of meh.
Honestly, that's... I like their Kanto Johto territories, and here's why. It's because it allows them to be very aggressive easily in the early game.
Yeah.
Because they can attack Igneous, they can attack Solar Trinity, they can attack Dim Sun. Their boats down on the south end, where they can maneuver to Hoenn and start attacking Aqua, they can train into Ore. While they're sitting up, taking stuff in Sinnoh, camping up there, being nice and safe. Because if we see anything like we saw them do in Season 3, we'll see them doing a lot of aggressive in Johto Kanto. And that's why I say that those territory spreads is very good for them, because it allows them to be aggressive. And their Sinnoh spread, though, is their strong point. Sinnoh, huge region. I really don't think they're going to be able to cap all their points. Actually, wait, no. Let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, wait. 1, 2, 3.
There's 6 locations left in Sinnoh.
No, there's 7. Oh, 7. 7. Counting the Sinnoh Pokemon League. So they'll cap all but 1 point in Sinnoh. If they don't attack, which they might, because they've been really aggressive.
Hey, guess what? If you didn't attack turn 1, could have capped it. But
doesn't matter, because it worked out for them in the long run. Now, Igneous is... spread. I think we're going to see their spread improve next turn. They'll have 9 fuel with their boat, which will help. They can use their boat to try and help take their Unova territories. Their issue is, right now, they don't, besides Almia, they can cap Almia. They can take all of Almia, just take all that, but that's going to burn 5 of their tokens.
Yeah, and Almia is a pretty strong region, I'd say.
It's a mini Lumios.
Yeah, but honestly, it's one of their only safe regions to really put it in.
Like, if they're feeling really confident with their Dim Sun matchup, which after their loss to them this week, they might not be as much, they might not want to push so... Because they can get a lot in Unova and a lot in Almia, but they're going to see an issue that I saw with a team in testing, where they have too much potential neutral territories, they're spread too thin, and that means it's easier to pick out their capital in the long run. So, they're spread really thin right now. I like their Johto lineup, though, but I just think they're trying to spread out in too many different places, because they can't maximize on the potential that they've created for themselves.
Yeah.
It's going to largely depend on what they decide to do. Right now, it's Almia or Unova. One or the other. They can't do both. If they could do both, their position would have been a lot better. If they hadn't attacked Dim Sun, they might have been able to do both. I'm just throwing that out there. Because they could have capped 2 more territories in Unova.
Well, if they hadn't attacked Dim Sun and used their boat this turn, they could have done both.
Yeah. Definitely.
Honestly, launching from Unova to Undella and then going over to Nuvema. Now, is that unit? Where is that? Is that Nuvema? North Unova? I think I'm right.
Oh, Nuvema. They could have gone there from Castellia to... it would have been shorter to go there from Undella.
Yeah. But no, they could have gone Undella to Humalau to that on turn 3, and that would have basically given them 2 free territories without the use of tokens.
Yeah. Live and learn, though. Not, you know...
Lean on the edge of tomorrow.
So, there's that. Really, I think Dim Sun has the strongest game position right now, but I don't think that... It's not by, a strong margin. Snagum's really high up there right now. And Solar Trinity's got a really good board. It's gonna depend on how these battles go and how these matchups line up. That's really what's gonna depend on a lot of things. And once again, my eye is still on Johto Kanto. I want to see this war zone break out. We have 4 teams in close proximity to each other, and we've seen the aggression from 2 of these 4 teams. So, and Dim Sun being the beaten dog of the season with being in most of the battles too, I wonder how well they're going to be able to handle this, because now Dim Sun is one of the larger teams. But if you remember back to season 2...
Remember when they had 8 members? Yeah. Better yet, remember when they had 4?
Exactly.
I hate that recruitment thread.
Oh, that recruitment thread.
That recruitment thread.
They do... I still stand by that quote. They function like a military. Anyway... That's been my opinion on the territory spreads.
So we can finally end this thing. Yay. Thank you for watching the podcast that has changed what it's about multiple times.
In the last 30 minutes.
We're back to Turf Wars again. Okay. Next week, we'll talk about Binding of Isaac. Probably not.
I hope not.
Yeah. Come back next week. We'll talk about turn 3. We'll talk about what we think might be possible capitals. And it's not just going to be one from turns. It's just we'll do 3 per team. I'd say 3 good ones that we'd think.
Let's change it to where we would put that capital. Where we put
them. Yeah. No, see, if it were me, I would put them in the dumbest places possible.
That's kind of half of my reasoning.
It's like, where would you want to put your capital? Marvel.
Dude, cap Lumio. Marvel's actually not a bad capital.
It's not a bad capital. Lumios not the greatest because there's way too many ways to get into Lumiose. But that lets you take that.
That's the point. Maybe we can talk more about turf strategy too, because I'm trying to develop some I'm trying to see how turf strategy, the overworld strategy, works and how things function. So maybe
Dozer's writing the Zig Shu Art of War. It's like Sun Shu's Art of War, except with more anthropomorphic Pokemon.
Yes, and I'm working on a Turf Force strategy guide for the Watchog. It's an article series that they wanted me to do.
He's got those cheat codes.
These cheat codes.
What you don't know is that if you put up, up, down, down, left, right, BA start on the map, it does absolutely nothing, and we need someone to program something into that. Preferably having Stratos come up. But we'll cross that road when we get to it. This has been...
If you do type in that in your in the actions in the ledger, on a turn that you fish, that might potentially, probably not, actually it doesn't increase your chance to draw a fish up an Arceus plate.
I'm waiting for someone to do that. I have to tell Panda what to do with that, because I now have something prepped for that.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for sticking with us as we ramble about useless stuff.
Yeah. Have a wonderful day, and look out for the next episode of the Boom Burst, whenever we record it. And the next episode, the first episode of a new show we're starting that has nothing to do with Pokemon.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.